Welcome to Tech Theater Clubhouse Conversations, where we have conversations around conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app.
This is a podcast to continue that conversation, because every Tuesday on Clubhouse, we have these incredible discussions with really smart people who sit at the intersection of tech and theater.
We always walk away from those Clubhouse talks with so many more thoughts than we have time to get out during our hour there. So we decided to make this here podcast, share those thoughts and reach even more of our friends and collaborators. That's you. So hey there, I'm Jess, CEO and co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. My background is in the theater and I love connecting it to technology, the internet, and all of that good stuff.
And I'm Joe, co-founder of Broadway Unlocked. I've been building and operating startups for over 10 years now, and I like to bring a tech and media perspective to these conversations.
And so with that, welcome to Tech Theater. This week on Clubhouse, we talked about, of course, the passing of Stephen Sondheim. If you missed that news somehow, it was the big story of the last several days. We got chatting about the legacy he left and the impact that he has had on the musical theater, which of course then connected us to the recent release of Tick, Tick, Boom, the film of the musical Tick, Tick, Boom, which Lin-Manuel Miranda directed. And that musical is the story of Rent creator Jonathan Larson. And that sort of all brought us to a larger conversation about the stories that resonate with people of different generations, whose story we should be telling now, and what is worth watching and listening to. So it was a good juicy conversation today.
Very juicy. Great conversation.
It was nice to be back too, Joe. I feel like I've sort of been in and out across the last couple of weeks just because of meetings for other projects and flying. And it was just nice to, I really appreciate this hour every week. I think I've said it to you before, but like so much of our week is sort of motored specifically around pricing jobs out and creating things for those jobs. And like everything's a task. It's not a lot of space to just think and riff off of other people and put together ideas. And that's the thing I always really appreciate about Clubhouse. And it really felt nice to be back in that environment this week.
So good. And glad you were back this week to talk about Sondheim and Tick, Tick, Boom and all these other good topics.
Thank you.
Especially because I have no depth with Sondheim and barely know who he is or what his contributions to the world of the theater are.
What?
And I've learned it quite a bit more across the past few days with all the performative remembrance on social media, which is one place I would like to go. Podcast and therapy are the two places where I get to talk about these sorts of things.
Sondheim?
No. Things that I'm like, ooh, this is like not, you know, maybe taboo or gauche or something, but I'm just like confused and it feels real at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. Explain. I need to know so much more about what you're thinking about.
So it's not specific to Sondheim, but Sondheim, like many other, you know, very famous, very lauded, very loved people fall into this category in my mind. Of like bringing out this icky thing in the social media era that I like can't wrap my head around fully, which is why we're talking about it right now. Mm-hmm. Again, therapy and podcasts, that's when we process things. But it's this like performative, like remembering and celebrating of someone who just passed. I feel like it happened really big with like David Bowie, who is someone that like I still love his music. But then like the need for everyone who has any sort of connection to that person to like perform on social media the depth of their connection to that person, you know, why this person was so important to them. And it's like on one side I'm like, yeah, you do whatever you want to and whatever you need to like feel connected and celebrate this person's life and passing. But then on one side, it feels like super performative. And I'm like, why any of this? And it's partially my own bias for like, I don't have a huge desire to like jump onto social media and celebrate like my personal connection and my personal story with David Bowie. So that's like where I'm sitting in the middle of it. And I was curious your thoughts around like the concept, because this recent Sondheim thing felt a little bit like that for me as an outsider who like doesn't know a ton about Sondheim.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And interestingly enough, I think I have two thoughts on either side, like on the polar opposite ends of this, what you just posed. One, that's probably closer to what your perspective is on it, as like, as someone who has experienced an inordinate amount of death in my very short life, and as a writer, right? Like, and tell stories. I have made lots of those posts, not about famous people, of course, like, right, but about my family. And I've what I thought about when I was listening to you is like, I too have the personal view that when I write to memorialize someone on social media, and this includes not just when they died, but like if I do a post, you know, on a anniversary or something like that, I'm always thinking about like which of the stories I hold in my heart and my head can I offer in a way that helps someone else feel better, realize something, go through the same thing and feel supported, right? It's like generally not my perspective to really just like write something that's just for me and about me and my experience with that person, you know? So like that's my one thought on this side. But my thought on the other side about it is that it's actually kind of similar in some weird ways to what we talk about with live digital, in that the micro is, of course, like my friend Harris Doran sharing the story of in his 20s having just a really, really hard time, and Steve mentoring him and sort of becoming his friend and getting him through that. That's the micro. That's the Harris Doran proximity story. But the macro of it is that you become part of something bigger than yourself, right? You're part of this collection of people who Stephen Sondheim was formative to and meant something to. And we know from our own work that that feeling of being part of something bigger than yourself is really important. And I think that might be one of the reasons we are inclined as humans to jump in and try to be a part of a remembrance like that with our own single story.
I like those two.
I was really overwhelmed in like a good way also, just because I know so many people who knew Stephen Sondheim. well, one, I actually didn't realize how many people I knew. And two, just how generous, he was just like this indefatigable letter writer. And he wrote so many letters to people I know. And like the kindest, just like a letter acknowledging that he couldn't write a song for a benefit for someone because he was like, you know, at a deadline for a show or something like that. I was really moved by how generous he was with his communication to people, so many people who just like wanted a little piece of him, you know?
I always wonder with that, like the incredible like generosity, and like he must have like enjoyed writing those letters, like sitting down for that moment in the way that you were describing Clubhouse before, of like a little respite from the rest of his life. And like how wonderful that is to have like the thing that recharges you also be a thing that is like, you know, warm and thoughtful and compassionate and thinking of others and mm-hmm. like giving himself to others through those letters. I find it so difficult to sit and write letters. I remember trying quite hard in like college to like be someone who writes letters. And I think that was my first mistake, was like I wanted to be someone who wrote letters. I didn't want to enjoy writing letters, or I didn't set out enjoying writing letters.
Yeah, it definitely inspired me to buy some stationery. I think that, was it Bradley Whitford who played Sondheim in Tick, Tick, Boom? I think it is, right? What timing?
Funny enough, with this Tick, Tick, Boom stuff, I had seen the trailer for it recently without having a full realization of what I was watching or the connection to what was being talked about today on Clubhouse until like halfway through the introduction of it. So like I saw it might have been on like Netflix or something like that. And I was like, oh, Andrew Garfield and like thing. And you know how Netflix like just automatically starts playing if you hover on something for too long. And so it like started playing without sound. And I was like watching it being like, oh, this seems interesting. This seems cool. And didn't like actually watch the trailer nor connect it through to Jonathan Larson or Rent or any of the other stuff that we talked about today across Clubhouse. And I haven't seen Rent, but I remember my older sister absolutely like loving it. And I think she had like a birthday party like at Rent in high school, which is like partially how I remember Rent. It's like, oh, the thing my like cool older sister really liked. And so across the Clubhouse conversation, Jess actually asked, he was like, oh, as an outsider, as someone who doesn't have the sort of depth of knowledge of what's going on here with Jonathan Larson and now with the release of this film, Tick, Tick, Boom, like, would you go see it? And would you kind of report back on what's happening? And I think the answer to that question, like I said on Clubhouse, is yes, absolutely. Like, I don't know a ton about Jonathan Larson's work and life. And I just sort of have whatever has sort of seeped through pop culture to my lens as like a, I don't know, I was like 14 at the time when I first heard of it. And beyond that, not a ton. So it's kind of nice and kind of fun and a perspective that I often get to bring to these conversations of like total outsider when it comes to like these stories and the history, and to get to experience Jonathan Larson's sort of like story for the first time through the lens of this movie.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about it once you watch it.
I thought the point that you made in Clubhouse, Jess, about Sondheim resonating with a certain generation of people, but maybe we look back at those musicals and they were very much of their time in certain ways. And then same thing with like Jonathan Larson, the way that Ananth was talking about seeing Kinky Boots or Rent even a few years after they had premiered and thinking, oh, it took such little time for this to be like a period piece, I thought was very interesting. It's sort of like a staircase in my mind. It's like Sondheim, Larson, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I like that staircase. It's just all of all men. Yeah, it was just, I think that like when something comes out and is new, like Kinky Boots or Hamilton or Rent or whatever, it is of the moment, right? Which means it's been written, I mean, unless it's a history period piece, but it's like it is made for the moment it comes out in. And that's how we digest it as consumers as well, right? And particularly at theater people who love theater, like, you know, Rent came out at this perfect time. Well, it meant something very different to people living in New York that are a decade older than me, right? Than me. But I was just about to move to New York, right? I was like two or three years from moving to New York. So like this musical meant, it resonated with me in that moment, in that time in 96, 97, as something like really important. And that all that resonance stays with me across my whole life, right? Like Lynn, I was saying on Clubhouse, is about my age. So also with Tick, Tick, Boom, right? It was a meaningful musical for people my age because we had grown up with Rent. And then we got to know the real story of Jonathan Larson and the real story, quote unquote. So that resonance lives with you, but the world outgrows that resonance, right? Like you only take it with you if it was meaningful to you at the time. It's like Songs for a New World. I think about that too in the same way. It's like, it's not problematic or anything. Well, I don't think so. Oh, that's not true. It does have some problems. But Songs for a New World is pretty dated if you were to listen to it now. But for me, it's so much more than that musical, right? It's singing those songs in my senior recital, and it's like being at parties, and it's all these things wrapped up in it that will always be special to me, but would totally not be present for someone your age that listened to Songs for a New World for the first time. Does that make sense?
But I'm so curious. I was just having a thought of like, Lucy, as you described the staircase of sort of Sondheim to Larson to Lin-Manuel Miranda, and like, is that, I'm trying to continue the analogy, but like, are the stairs getting shorter? Like, is the speed of sort of cultural turnover increasing with like social media and technology and sort of the speed of communication now? Like, we talked a bit on Clubhouse about like the number of sort of bites of the apple that Sondheim got, and like, you know, thank goodness that he did, because he was able to create all these amazing works sort of like later into his career. Like, is the pace and the speed of what is being created and the sort of churn that we have through our celebrities that we idolize and our creators that we sort of revere speeding up? And will we get like more Sondheims in a period of time because we're like bouncing from Sondheim to Sondheim to Sondheim? I'm curious, Jess, what you think about that.
Well, I mean, their platform has to be amplified, right? So I think the answer to your question comes down to our capacity to amplify the multiple Sondheims to the point where we even know they exist.
What if our next Sondheim right now is on TikTok, just creating stuff?
Well, I'm sure they are, right? I mean, I think that's just like the thing about Sondheim is he's Sondheim because he's brilliant, created a bunch of stuff, and was amplified and invested in, I think,
oh,
right? And like, that's the essential question today when distribution is decentralized is like, there's no shortage of brilliant creative people. Like, we know that from our lives. But whether anyone knows outside of 10 people that they exist is, you know, I don't know what the capacity is to build that part, that business to support 20 Sondheims, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting that Sondheim is only Sondheim because it's Broadway is Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And like Jonathan Larson is only Jonathan Larson because Broadway is Broadway. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is only Lin-Manuel Miranda as we know him because Broadway is Broadway. And the speed of Broadway has not picked up. So maybe my theory is moot, or my theory exists outside of Broadway.
Yeah, maybe just like outside of theater.
Join us on Twitter to keep this conversation going. You can tweet at us at BWIUnlocked and use the hashtag TechTheaterCH to share your thoughts.
Yeah, and I especially encourage you to go to the Broadway Unlocked account and check out the post that Lucy put out about Sondheim's passing. I thought it was really beautiful and poignant and thoughtful and expressed a lot of what I hope will exist for our industry in honor and because of Sondheim's legacy. So yeah, check that out. And of course, be a part of our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on Clubhouse. Raise your hand, jump in and share your thoughts.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love it if you could rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leave a review.
Every single topic we talk about each week is inspired by the articles we read and drop in our company Slack, as well as the people who join our stage. So please tweet us at hashtag TechTheaterCH, like Joe said. Say hi and join in the conversation. But until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.